Welcome to Patmos Chapel, Seventh-day Adventist Church. We are blessed to have a legend in Adventist ministry. Our fall evangelism schedule starts off this Friday evening on the Sabbath, and we're blessed to have Elder E.E. Cleveland, Huntsville, Alabama. So for the next couple of minutes, join us as we have our speaker spotlight and kick off our fall evangelism schedule. Elder Cleveland, welcome to Central Florida.
Pleasure to be here.
Elder, your home is Oakwood College Church in Huntsville, Alabama.
Yes.
There are 52 weeks in a year, 52 Sabbaths in a year.
Yes.
You are a clear ambassador, a very sought-after minister of the gospel of truth. How many Sabbaths a year do you get to enjoy at home?
I'll say, not enough. Even though I am seldom there for more than six Sabbaths a year. But the demands on my time and my effort are so complex. I'm invited to ministers' councils to preach to preachers. I'm invited to churches where men want a little shot in the arm, and from there the church kind of revives and moves on. So I keep busy that way.
Your day, when you start off as a young man, they always preach last day events. It's later than it ever is now. What do these events tell you now, and how do they affect your message, or do they?
No, I've always taught the same thing. What I see coming to pass is a fulfillment of those Advent prophecies. And I say that if the saints are ever going to wake up and become individual propagators of the truth, unless that happens soon, a lot of people can know the truth but never benefit by it.
My name is Brother Ivan Alston, and join us. Stay logged in and come down to Central Florida, 821 West Swoop in Central in Winter Park, Florida. We are blessed this weekend for Friday night divine worship and Sabbath afternoon with the legendary minister, Elder E.E. Cleveland. Thank you and be blessed.
This is Patmos. I love to come here. Kick this up just a little bit, sound man. I'm 84. If you saw that I could not kneel, it is called the conservation of my natural resources. In other words, brother, I want to be alive when I get through preaching. So excuse me for not killing myself for you. Hello, everybody. I said hello, everybody. Good to be with you today. Now, what time am I going to preach this evening?
6:30.
I'm going to preach at 6:30?
6:30.
I'm going to preach when these people quit singing. And that ain't going to be no 6:30. But whenever they give me the signal, I'll be up here, and I brought you something special. It's entitled, How We Got Over. This morning, I'm going to talk about that other thief. That other thief. What a pleasure it is to fellowship with my family. I have adopted them. I'm talking about Patmos. And these singers do nothing less than inspire me. I leaned over to Elder Bates and I said, Bates, if you can't preach here, you can't preach nowhere. Now I'm going to work because I've got to do it again. Last night, my Lord in this room. You people who work yourself to death on Friday and are too tired to get on Friday night, you'll kick yourself when you buy that tape.
All right, let's go to work for now. This is the crucifixion of Christ. And the soldiers mocked him, that's Jesus, offering him vinegar and saying, if thou be the king of the Jews, save yourself. Now, if I had been there, and one of those soldiers, there is one word that I would not use when in the presence of Jesus. And that word is save. Unless you are saying, save somebody else. But these crazes didn't say that. If thou be the king of the Jews, save thyself. Asking the Savior to save himself. Ain't that dumb? Savior. It's elementary, my dear Watson. He didn't come to save himself. He came to save the nuts that were making fun of him. And if they just said what that other thief said, that's my subject. If they just said, Lord, save me, they would not wake up in hell. You see, those boys that crucified him can't go to heaven because they're coming up as fuel for the fires of hell. And this was their one shot at salvation. Christ. But they fumbled their lives away. But there was one sensible person on that hill. It says down here, one of the malefactors, thieves, that were hanged, worshipped him, saying, Now, wait a minute. Railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself. And he was a little more broad-minded. He said, and us. At least this fool was not altogether foolish. He said unto the Son of God, save yourself and save us. But that was the wrong prayer too. He winds up going where the soldiers that crucified him are going, to hell. Now that gets me down to my sermon. But the other thief, answering, rebuked him, rebuked his buddy, both of them dying for the same thing. Both of them thieves, but one thief wasn't satisfied with not being saved. So he rebuked the other one, and this is what he says. Dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation? We indeed justly, for we receive due reward for our deeds. In other words, we belong where we are. We deserve hanging. But then he said unto Jesus, Lo. Lord, remember me when you come in your kingdom. The other thief, I don't know how he mastered the heart of the plan of salvation during the brief time that he was hanging up there next to Jesus. But he got the revelation. Evidently the Holy Spirit was on that hill, and he just moved over to the honest one. Thief though he had been, repentant. And he says to the one hanging on the middle cross, remember me when you come in your kingdom. Salvation is a salvage operation. When our worn out cars are on the junk heap and you've passed them on the highways, seeing these junky cars on the junk heap, that stuff is valuable. It doesn't stay out there long. If you come on the right day, you'll see a truck backing up and getting all those wrecks and hauling them to the foundry for conversion. These people out here are a little slow. Let me do that again. This apparent junk is valuable. It represents people in this sermon. Both of those thieves were valuable to Christ because he is Creator. Haven't you read it? Colossians 1, 13 to 16. By him were all things created, whether they be thrones or principalities. Huh? Whatever. He's Creator. And now he's hanging on the cross as Redeemer. And one hunk of junk didn't want no redemption. He was a nut. So I won't waste my time with the rascal. It is that other thief that touches you and me. Work, it says here, the sound of the foundry. Talking about salvage now. These trucks take that salvage to the foundry. And they are melted down and reappear as the shining cars that you rode up here in. And haven't the faintest idea that you're riding in a hunk of junk. Oh, how proudly you rode up here in your Lexus. You should have seen it when they were hauling it to the foundry. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? When we were lost in sin, we were a hunk of junk. But valuable junk. Jehovah put such a high price on us junkies. Then why don't you respect yourself like you respect that thing you drove up here in? It was nothing but a hunk of junk, but it got converted in the foundry. The fires melted it down, and it's your washing machine. It's your car. A hunk of junk, but look at it now. You still don't know where I'm headed, so I'll keep moving. At 3:30 this morning, this is what I wrote. That's right, Paul. You were blowing zeros. My brain was being operated on by the Holy Ghost. I didn't even get back to sleep working on that other thing. Listen. they send it to the foundry, they are melted down and reappear as the shining models of automobiles that surround this house of worship. Washing machines that clean the clothes you wear. That enhance your good looks. That's the last complimentary thing I got to say to you. But before your refinement, you were a hunk of junk. Born in sin, shaped in iniquity. The very impulses of our mind, hellward bound, made to be taken and destroyed, unless we meet the man on the middle cross who values you. When people look at people, they are inclined to be very critical. He's a hunk of junk. But when Jesus looks at the vilest sinner, he is attracted to him, attracted to her, came into the world to transform human hunks of junk and make us new creatures in Christ Jesus. Is there an amen in this house? The price was prohibitive. Remember who Jesus was. When you read in the Genesis, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That was Jesus. How do I know? Colossians 1, 13 to 15 identifies Christ as the creator of everything and everybody. Genesis 1 only says, in the beginning, God created. Of course, the Holy Ghost spake. And of course, God the Father overshadowed. But he who really made the planet, and it was his planet, which was why he could not lose it without an effort. Listen to me. You are somebody. Because you were crafted by... May I take this coat off? I said, may I take it off? Thank you for permission that was so unnecessary. We're ready to preach. You. My daddy used to tell me, growing up in the South in the 1920s, and his other two boys, while society denied the value of a black person in America, my daddy said to his three boys, "You are somebody." A black parent that ever looks at a black kid and says, "You ain't good for nothing," or to be put in jail. You sound kind of like that man who was a part of the cabinet of the United States, who put his foot in his mouth the other day. How do you cut down crime? Abort every black child coming into the world. What? And you think you are out of the woods? You better get in here tonight and find out how you got over, and I'll tell you how you're going to get over too. That's tonight. Stay home if you want to. I'll be here, because I like what I'm going to say. Now let's go. Only a dying Savior could bring hope to the hopeless thief. It all depends on Him, the Savior. But we must pursue Him, the Creator, the Redeemer, who loves us already, but will not save us unless we love Him. Okay? All right. So we put this down here at about 4:15. My salvation, like the thief's salvation, must rest on Him. We cannot save ourselves. We cannot work our way into heaven because we ain't got sense enough to make it there. We got the map, but the map says you can't save yourself. The map says you got to save that man on the middle cross. Wounded for our transgression. Bruised for our iniquities. That's why I told you to start with. Man, you are something. If Jesus would come and suffer and bleed and die for you, that means He esteems you. Then the question is, why don't you esteem yourself? Why would you take a drink of liquor and crawl home? You don't have self-respect. Why would you take a cigarette and stick it in your mouth and get lung cancer? Lack of self-respect. Why do you have an extra woman along with your wife? Lack of self-respect. You don't think you are anything, and that's why you act like nothing. If this morning you see how valuable you are in the sight of God, then, boy, go take a look in that mirror and say, I am man. The Lord God formed man. The dust of the ground breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. He is the manufacturer of man. And not any other man on any of the other planets. They are either angels or other forms of God-valued life. But on this planet, the supreme mind of the universe conceived man. And He said, I'm going to make him in my own image. You're the only being made in His image. He said, let us make man. Use something new. Adam and Eve were special. And I don't care what color you are a descendant because you are human. And all humans on the earth were created in the image of God. My question to you this morning is, with that high value put on you, how do you value yourself to prostitute your God-given gifts? Sit in front of a television set and watch every kind of filth being practiced on the lost planet. You're taking on something that won't fly. You might as well know it by watching these things and dumping this garbage in your mind. It is the mind that controls the body. Therefore, the low ideals of the earth. What happened to you when you woke up and found out that America was considering legalizing same-sex marriages? What? What happened to you when you woke up and watched men kissing men on the mouth? You'd have stayed at home if you know I'm going to get this close. I got some more. This thief, however, the other thief decided, I'm not going to go the way of all flesh. I'm not just going to be another ordinary human being. I'm going to aspire to the excellence of the value that has been placed on me by my Creator Father. Take my feet out of the miry clay. Put me on a rock to stay. And put a song in my soul today. A song of praise. Hallelujah. I thought about something else. I thought about that thief and what it took to save him. Answer, faith. He told the other thief, quit talking to this man. You and I are hanging up here because of what we did. He has done nothing. And a flash of divine revelation anointed his brain, and he took that look that every one of us in this room have to take. And he said, Lord, remember me when you come in your kingdom. And I hear the master stopped dying to honor that request. And he said to that lifelong thief, I say unto you today, you're going to be with me in paradise. Now, he didn't mean what most Christians think that means. They say, that means that when Christ, when you die, you go to heaven, or go to hell, or you go somewhere. You don't go to heaven when you die. You will only go when you fly. And you're not gonna fly with excess baggage. Now, I did 38,000 air miles last year. Old man. 84 years old. Every other preacher 84 years old never gets invited even to pray at camp meeting. But there are two things that'll keep you going when you're 90. One of them is a good old vegetarian diet. Boy, that sure helped me. I just refuse to eat anything that can crawl, walk, or fly. Wait a minute. Anything that has a mama. Man looked at me and said, how old are you? I said, 84. He said, I don't believe it. I said, please, you just complimented me. It's my vegetarian diet. Now, for the sake of those who have misused even that doctrine, a vegetarian diet won't get you into heaven. But it will keep you moving down here. That's what it's about. People that eat meat have a theme song. It's the old Negro spiritual. I ain't got long to stay here. That's all the vegetarian diet will do for you. It'll give you, according to statisticians, 10 more years of living. Seventh-day Adventists live 10 more years than the average American. So I joined the Adventist church just to hang around. Makes sense. But wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. That other thief somehow realized that Philippians 2:13 is true. It is God that worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. And without me, John 15:5, you can do nothing. So salvation is by grace through faith, lest and not works, lest any man should boast. This thief got saved without keeping one Sabbath. But if he had survived the cross and gotten down, he would run smack dab into, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all. But he was on the cross, so he was resting until he died. That's all right. Play the tape. So we are saved, not by works. This thief didn't do any work, but he got saved. And that is the plan of salvation, that you are saved before you work. For it is God that worketh in you, both to will and to do his good pleasure. Once you get saved, you know what that means. Once you get saved, a divine energy of the Holy Spirit recalibrates your mental processes, and you call that repentance. You can't help it. Then you get saved. And all of a sudden, saved people are floating like a butterfly and stinging like a bee. Full of spiritual life. And the laws of God mean nothing to an unsaved person. Therefore, keeping the Sabbath and not committing adultery and the rest of those things, they don't even come into your experience until you have been saved by grace through faith. But if that thief had come off the cross, that other thief, he died with the promise that by faith in Christ, he'd make it in. What most of you don't know is the moment you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are saved. For by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, Ephesians 2:10 to 12. Hey! You're not saved by what you do. You're saved by what he did at Golgotha. But saved people behave. They are changed, gloriously changed. And the evidence that they are changed is respect for the laws, L-A-W-S, that the Creator gives every born-again Christian. You quit zigzagging on the highway. Look, man, have you ever met a driver and he's coming over on you on the highway and you got nowhere to go? And if you're a Christian, you look at him and say, what meaneth that sinner? But if the Lord doesn't have you, there's some other ways. Don't sit up there looking sanctimonious. There's some words that a Christian won't use. Did you hear what I said? So you obey after you are saved, or you will never obey. Because it is now God that worketh in you, both to will and to do his good pleasure. That's why I remember the Sabbath day, to keep it holy, because he set a mountain on fire to get my attention and thundered these words. And Exodus 20 identifies the author. And God spake all these words. Now he's talking to his children, people that are into the family of faith. These are kingdom people. He says, I got some laws, boy. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Don't let me find you kneeling like to something like a Buddha. And don't let me catch you staring at that box at 3 and 4 in the morning. Don't let that Stevie. I said, staring, spending more time there. And what you're looking at matters too. Now learn how to flip that dial. That's what the dial's on there for y'all Christians. The sinners wouldn't be no dial. Flick it on. And let the good times roll. But you, not you, say to the devil, my mind is not a garbage can. I can't keep dumping that crap into the very capital of my being, because it will influence my behavior. And if I'm too chicken to do what I want to do, I still want to do what the thing said, and then I'm as lost as if I did it. Hey man, you gotta want to be saved. Instead of that whole just looking at the set, yeah, okay, so you're saved up front. Now I don't think you know understand that. Only the saved serve. Pays to serve Jesus. Pays every day. Pays every step of the way. But you can't do it until you're already saved. And saved people, their lives change according to certain laws that the Lord put here that you cannot ignore without pain. So you better settle that. Now you hear a lot of preachers on TV, and they'll tell you, what did all law was nailed to the cross? What law do they mean? They're five. They don't even know that. Saved by grace, not by law. Who said you were saved by law? You were saved by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is this that makes you sensitive to the divine will. Lord, what will you have me do? I told you from a mountain, set a mountain on fire to get your attention. Thou shalt have no other gods before. All right, Lord, anything else? Yeah, don't make any graven images either and bow down to them or serve them. Anything else? Yeah. And thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Cut out your cussing and swearing. And when you hit your thumb instead of that nail, just say, bless you! Or start singing, praise God from whom all blessings flow. But don't say that other thing again. Christians don't cuss. Because the law of God said, don't cuss. Anything else? Yeah. Honor your father and mother that your days may be long. You young people sitting in here, turning your mama gray-headed, popping up at 2 and 3 a.m., talking about you at all-night prayer meeting. You are a liar, and the truth ain't in you. Mama can't go to sleep while you're hitting the streets. Huh? Honor your father. Honor your mama. She brought you here. Well, anything else, Lord? Yeah. Thou shalt not kill. Well, oh, I don't worry about that. Oh, there are too many ways of killing. You better watch that. You can kill people with your unbridled tongue. Lying on the phone. See how quiet they're getting out there? Lying on the phone. The Lord said, I don't want you to know that. After I have saved you by grace through faith. You got that? Anything else, Lord? Yeah. Thou shalt not. What did I say? Thou shalt not steal? Okay. That's a good one. Never stole anything. What's next, Lord? Well, thou shalt not bear false witness. In other words, shut your lying mouth. Lord says, all right, I'll go to work on that. Anything else, Lord? Yeah. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. Here comes the specificity that you're not going to be able to dodge. But the Sabbath day is the Sabbath. These are definite articles, you educated people. The seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. 3 definite articles. You couldn't duck it if you were dumb. And furthermore, you know that Sunday is not the seventh day. Wait. Don't touch it. Don't touch it. Leave this one to me. This is the time for you to pray. When you go home, look at your calendar. If you can count, the week begins with Sunday, moves to Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. The seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. Is the Lord thy God, then the seventh day is his holy day. Wait a minute, I'm getting ready to teach you. If you go to Africa, you'll discover that long before the Europeans ever got hold, the Sabbath, the seventh day, was the holy day of the Africans. I've got the names of the days of the week. I've been there 5 days, 5 years, 5 times. The Africans say, Sunday, blah, Monday, blah, Tuesday, blah, Wednesday, blah, Thursday, blah, Friday, blah. And I said, what about that Sabbath? They say, what come about? Well, you don't know what that means. Neither did I. I said, what do you mean? No work today. That's the end, quote, quote, darkest ethic, close quote. Been there five times. More darkness here than you got over there. But let's keep on with it. The seventh day is the Sabbath, and the seventh day is Saturday, not Sunday. Why don't you know how Sunday became the universal day, Christians? Let me take 3 minutes and tell you. No, wait a minute. I didn't finish that other thing. Wakambo, no work today. Hey. And when you come to America, enlightened America, it's Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Ghetto East. Saturday is the Sabbath. No work today. The law of God only comes to play apart in your life, once you accept the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is after you become a Christian that you begin to observe the laws of God. You do not take the law in order to be saved. You can't, honey. It is only after the Holy Spirit takes control of your life and you say, thy will be done in my earthly body as it is in heaven. My God, save me. Okay. I guess I'll have to close with this. We're saved up front, not at last. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thine house, the Bible says. So I'm talking to saved people. If you love me, John 14:15, keep my commandments. Ye are my friends, if you do whatsoever I command you. Skip. Let's close here. Now, you know something? Let's see. Yeah. When you pray, how many times have you ended your prayer saying, and save us when thou comest in thy kingdom? Now, don't blush. Too late! If he waits till he comes, hellbound you are. He got the Savior before he comes to get you. Then what are you talking about? Save us when thou comest in thy kingdom. Too late. I came to tell you, Patmos, too late. So quit saying that. John 14:1-3, the Lord didn't say, when he comes, he going to save you. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and save you. Is that what that says? He said he's coming to receive the saved. Hey. When he comes, too late. And some of you have already practiced your prayer while continuing your dirt. Oh, Lord, I cast out devils in your name. I'm talking about preachers now. I promised that if they become Christians, there'd be a Cadillac in the garage. Sound familiar? mighty quiet. Sound familiar? Oh, you don't want me to know you listen to them, huh? Them boys are promising everything out there in the name of religion. And they've forgotten all about foxes have holes, birds have nests. They felt like poverty is a sin. Jesus Christ was born in a borrowed manger, born among cattle, died among thieves, rode in Jerusalem on a borrowed donkey. And you say poverty is a sign that you must not be serving the Lord? You're a liar. Some of the poorest people are the best people. And the Lord would have to apologize in conclusion. The Lord would have to apologize. Huh? Can I take this thing off of you? Huh? Yeah. Uh-huh. God would have to apologize. We're going to do past midnight in about 5 minutes. The Lord, listen. The Lord could not promise you unless you are willing to follow him. Now watch. Remember me when thou comest in thy kingdom. You got to be remembered now. Uh-huh. Be saved now or be lost then. Did you hear that? We are justified before we're qualified, accepted before we are acceptable, trusted before we are trustworthy, and declared perfect while we are being perfected. So if you get worried sometime after you become a Christian, you slip up and you do something you know you ought not do, why do you think repentance was put attached to that plan? So that you get forgiveness and get busy working on those inherited and cultivated tendencies. Are you listening to this preacher? Because he's about to close his sermon. Your inherited and cultivated tendencies, your soul becomes a battleground. And mascara and the other beauty cosmetics cannot cover up the fact. You can paint all you want, but behind that paint is a human being who must accept the Lord Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and he begins to bring his requirements to you progressively, and it's called sanctification. Sanctification is growth in grace. You're not perfect, but you're being perfected as you practice. Talk to me. And wait, you will not be left unchanged when Christ comes into your life. Oh, he promised you joy in place of sorrow. Love that casts out fear. Uh-huh. Sunshine for your shadows and beauty for ashes here. It pays to serve Jesus. Pays every day. Pays every step of the way. Oh, the pathway to glory may sometimes be drear. You'll be happy. I said, you'll be happy. The only true happiness that will ever come to you is when you say, Jesus, I bring my heart to thee. You don't say like the Indian when the missionary made his call, missionary, said, Wahoo, Indian. What do you bring to the altar? He said, Indian bring wampum, money. Not enough. He said, Indian bring teepee, tent. Missionary says, not enough. Indian bring them squaw. He said, that's not enough.
Finally he said, Indian ain't got nothing left but Indian. He said, that's enough. That's enough. That's enough. And that will bring a new life, a new lifestyle and hope of life in the hereafter. I want to sing Pass Me Not, O Gentle Savior, choir. I want everybody to stand up while we sing. Come on. Stand up, everybody. Sing it with me. Come on, let's get it moving. Pass me. Yes. Go ahead. Yes. Hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling. In many of your hearts while you were praying that prayer, there came into your life the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord said, I forgive you for everything you ever did that was wrong. He was not like human beings. They never let you live it down. He said, come unto me, all ye that try to work your way out of your problem, that labor and a heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. I'll give you a quiet mind. I'll give you assurance of sins forgiven. I will adopt you into the family of God. Now, on the way here, as in everywhere, every place I go, I sit on those airplanes and pray. I did 38,000 miles last year. Going to do what I'm doing now. What keeps you going, old man? Talking to myself. The knowledge that if that plane lands safely with me, there's somebody going to keep an appointment at Patmos that reads just what you have to say. And that's why I sound like I know what I'm talking about. After 63 years, rooted by root doctors and left untouched. Wait. Murderers have tried to shoot me. Why, a man in Greensboro, North Carolina, a man came into my tent with a loaded gun. I don't know what his problem was, but I know what he came to do. Kill me in 1948. I didn't learn he was there until the man sitting next to him, who I baptized, came to me at a subsequent visit and said, I've been waiting to tell you something for 15 years. While I was on the way into the church, a man came in with a loaded gun in his pocket and his hand on the gun. Leaned over and said to me, I'm going to kill that preacher. Well, it's been more than that, but I'll tell you this one. He said that man leaned forward in his seat and then settled back. Leaned forward hand on his heat and lean back. The third time he did it, he said, "I'm going to get out of here," and ran. But before he ran, the man asked him, "What happened here?" He said, "Every time I got up to kill that man, a sheet of flame would come between us." I tell you. So I believe that I live a charmed life. I got about five of them, but that's all I'll tell you now. I only say to you that I did not defy Bin Laden. Y'all know him. Those red alerts. I didn't defy them and come down here for my health. And my covenant with God was, if I get there, bring somebody into the room that needs you. And that's why I'm standing here now, because I believe he has done that. I believe that while I've been reading the Word of God, there are people in here who have become reborn. Some of them have hope that had no hope when they walked in here. Some of them have sins forgiven. They prayed while they were listening to the Word. And they found out that if the Lord would save a thief, the Lord would save me. Hey! 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 And so, I'm getting ready to ask you. Number one, if you walked in here, now remember, this is the church. This is where these kind of things are supposed to happen. So don't be embarrassed. Everybody else in here had some problems the Lord had to change. So we know that. But if the Lord has changed you today, you walked in here having never been converted. Remember? Never been converted. And sitting here, learning how the Lord accepted that other thief. Well, if he can do it for him, he'll do it for me. I'm going to give him a shot at my life. Now, that's the first thing I'm going to ask you to do. The second thing I'm going to ask you to do is that if you did that years ago, made your confession, made your connection, but overwhelming temptation has swept you away like that tidal wave in New Orleans, and you never got back the way you started from, I want you to do the same thing that I asked the first person to do. Never been converted, but this morning the third person has come into your life, Jesus Christ. Ah, you used to be a Christian, slipped away, but you came in here today and you heard about that other thief, and you said if there was hope for him, my God, there's got to be hope for me. My case is not hopeless. Lord Jesus, I come. Finally, if you're a Christian of another faith, and you've discovered that in this church, there's no limit to truth, and that if you come in here, you learn everything the Lord wants out of you, and maybe for years you've contemplated becoming a Seventh-day Adventist, this morning, settle it. Saying, "Pass me not, O gentle Savior, and I'll tell you what I want. You deaconesses, would you give me that seat? Give me that seat." That's right, darling. Let me have it. Because there's somebody here that has a date with Jehovah and a date with me. Pass me not. Sing it! Sing it! Come down here. Let me pray with you. Come on. I want you here. My prayer. While on earth,
down here, somebody.
God bless you.
Sit right there. Somebody come down here. Do not pass me by. Anybody else? Anybody else? Let's save you. Come on. Yeah. Yeah. God bless you. Take a seat there. Yes. 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 God bless you. Leave the man on the line. Well, I'm up first. Come on. Come on. Let me tell you what I'm going to do.